Well, there are presidential debates already taking place, and there's talk about sorcery in the leadership in Iran. We'll sort it all out right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we're going to talk about presidential elections, even though it's only May of 2011. We're going to talk about what's happening worldwide with Islam, some fascinating and maybe disturbing developments. We'll give you a few other updates of interest, and we'll talk about moms, mothers. That's right. Since yesterday was Mother's Day, Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884 to get in the program online. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook or askdrbrown.org. All right. The question I want to put to you today, because we're going to try to get some moral sanity, some clarity on these issues. If the elections were today, who would you be voting for as president of the United States? Would you be voting for the reelection of Mr. Obama? Would you be voting for one of the current Republican candidates? Would you be voting for one of the recent candidates that surprised people at the debate last week, Republican debate? Would you be all Tea Party? Who would you vote for and why? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If the elections were being held today, who would you vote for and why? Before I give you some reflections on the news, let me welcome one of our new avid listeners. She tunes in whenever she can, namely my mom, living on Long Island, where I was raised. I was born in New York City. My mom was born in Leeds, England. She's in her late 80s and doing wonderfully well, sharp as a tack, clear-headed. We just chatted the other day. She was recounting to me the various shows she's listened to. So, hi, Mom. Thanks for listening. You have been and are a wonderful and extraordinary and awesome mom. I owe a whole lot to you. I could never be thankful enough. So thanks for being who you are. In fact, let me just tell you a quick mom story, all right? When I was serving as one of the leaders in what was called the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola in the late 1990s, God was moving in amazing ways. People were coming from around the world, getting radically touched. Lines were forming 12 hours before the doors opened for the night services. Lost getting saved. Believers repenting. It was extraordinary. And the local newspaper gave us wonderful coverage for a couple of years. Very celebratory coverage. I mean, it was amazing to see what was happening in the city in Pensacola and people coming in from all over. And the local news was reporting very favorably. And then suddenly, they took this turn, and they just started to bash us. They bashed us for a series of articles and then dropped the negative coverage. And the articles were bogus. I mean, people still refer to them as if they were truthful. But this was just the world going against the church for the most part. Well, there was one reporter in particular that was really nosing around and calling family members of those involved in revival and trying to get a contradiction in stories. And you said this, and he said this, or how does this line up? And Nancy, my wife, kept telling me, hey, you should call your mom and tell her that this guy may try to call. I said, no, he's not going to call my mom. No, you should really call her. He's probably going to try to call. I thought, all right, fine. Well, I finally called to say hi on a Mother's Day. And I said, by the way, if so-and-so calls, be really careful, you know, because this guy's really been trying to put out some negative stories. And she said, oh, he called. I said, really? She said, yeah, we had a very, very nice talk. I said, really? Well, it turned out that there was not a single quote from my mom in the newspaper because everything that she said was so positive and glowing and wonderful. And he said, but wasn't there a time when he was going through a hard time? She said, oh, yeah, he was shooting heroin and we were really concerned. But then here's my Jewish mom saying, but then he converted to Christ and was changed overnight. We're so proud of him. So here's a guy trying to dig up dirt and all he got was praises from my dear, wonderful mom. So all of the moms listening, happy Mother's Day. In case someone neglected you, hey, we're thinking about you. We owe everything to you. All right, we'll be back. Presidential candidates, Islam, and more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If the presidential elections were being held today, who would you vote for? Would you vote for a candidate specifically and only on moral grounds? Would you vote for a candidate only on spiritual grounds? Would you vote for a candidate based only on economic grounds or military security grounds or a combination of all of the above? If you were voting today, who would you vote for and why? I know it's early, but with the Republican debates already beginning last week and with constant talk about Obama's reelection campaign, it's something we're going to talk about and sift through it. Oh yeah, I'll push some buttons like we always do and bring some stuff up to the surface. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Some Islamic things to talk to you about as well. But first, let me play a clip from the recent Republican debate. And this is from Ron Paul. Ron Paul's followers are extraordinarily devoted in terms of fundraising, in terms of activism. I don't fully understand what it is about his relationship to them. Maybe some of you can enlighten me. But if the followers of Jesus were zealous for their cause in America, as the followers of Ron Paul are for his cause, we'd probably see America saved in like a month. All right, a little overstatement, but you get my point. So I just want to play this clip. He's talking about marriage. All right, he's written about a call for revolution in America. But clip number one, Joey, where he is talking about marriage.
Congressman Paul, in 2007, in an interview, you were asked, should gays be allowed to marry? You said, quote, sure, they can do whatever they want and call it whatever they want. Are you advocating legalizing gay marriage in this country?
Well, matter of fact, I spent a whole chapter in a new book I've written on marriage. And I think it's very important, seeing that I've been married for 53, 54 years now. But I think the government should just be out of it. I think it should be done by the church or private contract. And we shouldn't have this argument, who's married and who isn't married. I have my standards, but I shouldn't have to impose my standards on others. Others have standards, and they have no right to impose their marriage standards on me. And I just don't like it. But if we want to have something to say about marriage, it should be at the state level and not at the federal government. Just get the government out of it. It's one area where it's totally unnecessary, and they've caused more trouble than necessary.
All right. Given that answer, I have to ask you about your defense of the Defense of Marriage Act, which defines marriage as between one man and one woman. Even just weeks ago, you criticized this administration for its decision to no longer defend it against legal challenges.
And the main reason there is the Defense of Marriage Act. And I've been quoted as I voted for it. Of course, I supported it, but I wasn't there. But because that bill actually protects the states. See, I do recognize that the federal government shouldn't tell the states what to do. And the Defense of Marriage Act was really designed to make sure that the states have the privilege of dealing with it, and the federal government can't impose their standards on them.
All right. Now, I have not carefully followed Ron Paul's arguments or campaigns in the past, and I am not Mr. Political Expert. I look at certain key things in terms of presidential elections, local elections. There are key issues that are important to me, and then larger national issues that are important. So I don't claim to know every candidate's position in massive depth. But I do have to say, and maybe your Ron Paul follower would like to enlighten me, I found that answer to be very, very disappointing. And I don't follow it in terms of the logic behind it, because here's the deal about marriage. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the presidential elections. We're going to cover a whole lot of other ground, too. But if the presidential elections were being held today, who would you vote for and why? 866-34-TRUTH. Here's the deal. As I sought to clarify and emphasize and reemphasize in my debate with Professor Eric Small a couple of weeks ago at University of Central Florida on same-sex marriage, and I was really quoting what others had to say. But in short, the reason the government conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits to the government and society. So again, the reason that society conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on society. Otherwise, why is the government even involved? Why is the government involved with a romantic commitment that two people make, or a lifelong commitment, romantic, sexual, financial, that they make for life? Why is the government involved with it? Who needs the government's sanction of that? The only reason that the government is involved, and I understand Ron Paul's consistent about state determination, state rights, but I'm talking about the larger issue of marriage. The only reason the government's involved is because the government cares about the next generation and the functioning of society. And the government understands that healthy marriages with moms and dads connected to kids, that's the best guarantee for a healthy and strong society. Whether you're dealing with welfare issues, whether you're dealing with educational issues, whether you're dealing with other societal issues of well-being, that first, it's only a man and woman that have the ability to reproduce. Same-sex marriage in itself cannot reproduce. You need a third party, because everyone is ultimately the result of a male and female on some level, one way or another. So it's only a male, female that as a rule can reproduce. Yeah, you have sterile couples, but that's not the rule. They can reproduce, and then you can tie that kid to a mom and dad, which is the best environment. That's why the government cares. Otherwise, the government doesn't care. Otherwise, it's not an issue for the government at all. So again, in short, the reason that society conveys benefits on marriage and recognizes it is because marriage conveys benefits on society. So we're not talking about whose moral standard we're going to follow. We're talking about what is practical for society. That's why government gets involved with marriage. That's why we don't want to tamper with those foundations. Okay, one other point, and then I'm going to go to the phones. To my shock, a few years ago during the presidential campaign, actually the primaries leading up to the presidential campaign, when Senator Obama was just a candidate opposing Senator Clinton and others, Hillary Clinton, I took issue with different candidates. First one I took issue with was John McCain. A quote of his I didn't agree with, and I mentioned that. And then a week later or so, I mentioned something I disagreed with Senator Obama. Then maybe it came up again. And I began to get calls to my complete shock. I've been called lots of things, but never been called racist. I've been accused of lots of things, but it's never of being a racist or having racist issues. But I began to get some calls from some African-American callers at church going as well, and we've had great camaraderie, worked together wonderfully for years, saying, why do I always have to bring up race? I said, what are you talking about, bring up race? Who's bringing up race? Why do you always have to bash Obama? I said, I'm not always bashing Obama. In fact, I'm talking about lots of different people, lots of different issues, and that's the last thing on my mind. I just happen to differ with him. I said, but look, I agree with things that Alan Keyes said. He's a black man. And I disagreed with things that Senator Obama said. He's a black man. It's got nothing to do with color. It's got to do with issues. And then the same thing. When Sarah Palin was running, I agreed with certain things she said and disagreed with things Hillary Clinton said. It had nothing to do with male, female. It had to do with issues. So now I'm curious. There is a candidate, former CEO of Godfather Pizza, writes columns for some conservative websites, says other places where he is a voice, Herman Cain. And according to various focus groups, he came out the hands-down winner, according to some focus groups, of the recent Republican debate. He's a black man. So if I agree with him, okay, but I don't agree with President Obama, can anyone logically think it has to do with race? Clip number two, Joey. Listen to what Herman Cain said at a recent conservative political gathering.
Let it be borne in mind that the tragedy of life does not lie in not reaching your goals. The tragedy lies in having no goals to reach for. It's not a calamity to die with dreams unfulfilled, but it is a calamity to have no dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, the American dream is under attack. But the good news is we are fighting back.
All right, so just to be totally clear, just in case anybody is still hypersensitive to this issue, that if you take exception to something that President Obama says or differ with his stance, that it's a race issue, which to me is the furthest thing from my mind. I was very much looking forward to having the privilege of voting for our first black president, but I could not in good conscience vote for Mr. Obama because of his moral stance, some of which I profoundly, deeply differ with and feel he's steering us in a terribly destructive way as a country. But it has nothing to do with race. I'm Jewish. The great, great, great majority of Jews vote Democrat, vote liberally, just like the great, great, great majority of black Americans vote liberally, vote Democrat. We're going to have to push through that, friends, and really look at issues and get past this, you know, push a button, get a response, whether it's a Jewish response or a black response or whoever it is, and really look at the issues and think them through and not be just so automatic. Hey, if I'm a white evangelical, I automatically vote Republican. If I'm a black evangelical, I automatically vote Democrat or whatever it is. We're going to have to do better if we're going to get some moral sanity in our country. Maybe pushed a few buttons there, but the goal is to get more light than heat. All right, back with your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. If the presidential elections were being held today, who would you vote for and why? And then some reflections on what is happening in Islam, in America, and around the world. More news to look at when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Presidential elections, they're a long way off, but there is going to be constant discussion about them for the next, 15 months, 14 months. So we're going to start taking a look, thinking about it here on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. If the elections were being held today, who would you vote for and why? 866-348-7884. The candidate may not exist yet. That's fine. You can share that. Online, AskDrBrown.org. By the way, before I go to the phones, check this out. There's a new website, SpeakNowGirlScouts.com. SpeakNowGirlScouts.com. Just got an email about this. Some teenagers who were involved in Girl Scouts for 8 years parted ways with the organization when they discovered that Girl Scouts USA has a pro-abortion mindset. Prints literature that refers girls to Planned Parenthood and other pro-abortion groups. Amazing. Girl Scouts USA encourages girls to emulate pro-abortion champions, Marxist socialists, advocates of same-sex lifestyle. Whoa, I just got this email, just looked at this website. I'm sure we'll talk about it more in the coming days. Okay, Will in Miami, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
No problem. I just want to say I've been listening to you guys, like everybody in the station on and off. But I'm guilty of not giving no money, you know, so I got to work on that. I'm calling from Miami. My view on this is, like, I'm not trying to be, like, a cop-out or nothing, but the way I see it is, it's like, does it really matter in the end, like, who we, like, vote? Like the revelation's already been set, Like who's powerful enough to, like, undo the system but God, you know? Like, that's how I feel. I feel like it doesn't matter who I vote for. Like, it's been set, you know? Like, it's going to go down that one road no matter who gets elected. You know, I'm not trying to be a cop-out, but that's just how I feel sometimes. Like, it doesn't matter what I do or what we say. It's just going to go down that road, and the only one that can really change the system is God, you know? Like, you know what I mean? I just feel like we're in a big boat. Has like 1,000 holes, and it's just filling up with water, and all we're doing is taking water out, but it's just like we just can't do nothing about it. That's just how I feel about it. I don't know if that's a cop out or something, but it's just how I feel about it. Like, it doesn't matter.
Well, I appreciate you being honest about that, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that there are too many holes in the ship, and there's nothing we can do. What I'd suggest is what we can do is what we can do. In other words, for the most part, change happens through a little being done a lot. Through the most part, change happens not through one or two superstars rising up, but just through, if you got 1,000 people on the boat, if every one of them tries to deal with one of those holes in the boat, they can make a difference. So never underestimate that. And remember also that as far as votes, everybody has only one vote. So that's what you can do. And well, I agree on the larger thing, Will. Yeah. The larger picture is that the president in and of himself or herself will not completely turn the country. There are a lot of other factors. But that, to me, reminds me, hey, I'm one voice on the radio. There are bigger voices on the radio.
For example, I don't want to take up all your space or nothing. For example, like when the Revelation talks about, like, all this destruction and the new world order and the whole, you know, I believe in that stuff. I don't know in detail and real depth like maybe you guys do, you know. But, like, the way I see it is, like, it doesn't matter, like, change what? Like, what can we really change? It's so many like, it's going to, like, the revelation is going to happen, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to get, no matter what we do, it's going to get worse. There's nothing we can do about it. It's just
worse. Yeah, let me address that. Well, I appreciate it. And by the way, thanks for desiring to help financially with the broadcast. That's gracious of you. We're glad to be able to bring this on free airways. Everyone that can stand with us, wonderful. But that's a perfect example. Everybody doing a little enables us to pay a big bill. You working all your hours in the course of a week enables you to pay rent at the end of a month. So everyone doing a little bit makes a difference. But the larger picture, well, we're actually talking about the Book of Revelation tomorrow. I've got Professor Craig Keener scheduled to join me tomorrow at this very hour. So we'll talk about Revelation. But what I would say, Will, is that there is no guarantee that everything that's spoken of in the Book of Revelation is about to happen in the coming years or this next generation here in America. Therefore, there's a lot that we can do. And even so, we still have responsibility to do our part while God does his part. But we'll revisit this question about, is everything coming down? Does it even matter? I appreciate you raising it, Will. Thanks so much. Let's see. John in Annapolis, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling because you played a... first of all, I enjoy your program. You bring up interesting issues, and I enjoy listening to you at work.
Thank you.
And you played a quote, a little clip of Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't presume to speak for Ron Paul, and I wouldn't exactly call myself a Ron Paul follower. However, I agree with what Ron Paul said in that clip, and I thought you might, and I called in because you asked people to call who would agree with him on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, John. I appreciate you approaching it in a gracious, non-dogmatic way. My question is, though, is there no reason for marriage to be something that the government thinks about? I say it is important nationally, and for the reason stated, that marriage conveys benefits on society, so society conveys benefits on marriage. It's not a personal issue. It's a larger issue for the good of the state, for the good of the country at an ongoing level. That's something we can talk about further in terms of the larger marriage issues. But just real quick, 15 yeah. seconds or less, what is it you like best about Ron Paul?
Well, what I like best about Ron Paul is not specifically his stance on marriage, mm-hmm. but specifically his stance in economics. I think he understands the economic problems we have, and I don't see anybody in the field who understands what's going on.
Right. Got it. So for you and for many others, the economic issues are really, really big, and I understand that. So again, that's why I'm asking who someone would vote for and why. So Ron Paul's understanding of economics puts him at the top of the pack for John. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll get to a lot more calls in the second half hour, some reflections on Islam as well. We do have a special resource offer that I think will really bless you this week. It's four of my top debates. My debate with Professor Bart Ehrman on the Bible and the problem of suffering, my debate with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach on homosexuality, my debate with conservative Rabbi Gold on Jesus being the Messiah, and my debate together with James White against Anthony Buzzard and Joe Good on the deity of the Messiah, God's triune nature. I believe it's about 8 hours of material on at least five DVDs just for $45 for all of them together. So it's a great time to get these terrific resources, get them out to your friends as well. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or online, you can order directly at askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Again, that's four different debates, 8 hours of material dealing with from the problem of suffering to homosexuality to Jesus being the Messiah to the deity of Jesus. Tremendous material that'll be a great resource to watch and to give out to others. Get hold of these at a special price today, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is great to be with you today, friends, the day after Mother's Day. I gave a special tribute to my mom that I believe is listening right on Long Island, where I grew up and where she's lived for many, many years. 866-34-TRUTH. I began the first half hour with a special tribute to my mom. So to other moms listening, I hope you had a blessed Mother's Day. To those who were neglected, there are many who love you and many who appreciate you and many who are cheering you on. 866-348-7884. Talking about the presidential elections and some other news-related issues today. If the elections were being held today, who would you vote for? Okay, a quick Jewish joke. Ties in with Mother's Day, by the way. The Jewish joke is, how do we know that Jesus was Jewish? How do we know that Jesus is Jewish? It's an internal Jewish joke, and others appreciate it as well. Well, here's how we know. Number one, he was 30 years old and still not married. Number two, he went into his father's business. Number three, he thought his mother was a virgin. Number four, his mother thought he was God. Okay, it's just a Jewish joke, but it does actually open up some doors for conversation, and you have to understand Jewish culture to understand it a little bit better. All right, before we go back to the phones, some Islamic-related news I do want to talk to you about. In case you didn't hear this, on Friday, two Muslim leaders were pulled from a plane that was actually heading into North Carolina, where I live. CNN and many others report an airline is investigating the removal of two imams from a flight headed to North Carolina, ostensibly because passengers felt uncomfortable with the presence of the pair, both clad in Islamic attire. The two, who hold high religious positions in the Muslim community, were headed to North Carolina. Are you ready? For a conference on prejudice against Muslims or Islamophobia. The meeting is sponsored by the North American Imams Federation. So one of them was Masudur Rahman, who is professor at the University of Memphis. And he told the affiliate that the incident reminded him of the prejudice Rosa Parks faced during the civil rights movement. Quote, "That history I found today in that plane, and it shouldn't happen with any other person." Ibrahim Hooper, spokesman for the civil rights group Council on American Islamic Relations, told CNN the two men contacted his office and said they were told that passengers were uncomfortable with them on flight. They went through extra security, but the pilot refused to have them on, according to the report, and took off. What I find interesting here is two things. On the one hand, yeah, I understand how they can say, look, we're on our way to a conference about prejudice against Muslims or Islamophobia. Here I'm a professor. We're highly respected Islamic leaders. How in the world can you put us off the plane? On the other hand, they need to understand that this is still very, very foreign to Americans, that Americans have had more than their share of Islamic terrorism. Just 9/11 alone is enough. And then the threats that constantly come, etc. And to compare this to Rosa Parks is completely wrong. Rosa Parks, as an African-American woman, was not blowing up buildings and threatening people with jihad. She was being viewed prejudicially because of the color of her skin, and she and her ancestors were brought over here as slaves and sinned against in the most vile, horrific way. So to compare a Muslim with Rosa Parks' incident, to me, is absolutely off, absolutely wrong. By all means, sir, we hate to mistreat you when you are flying peacefully to a conference to have discussion. But please be understanding that there's some American concerns, especially right after the killing of Osama bin Laden, with constant threats about what's going to happen, etc. So, yeah, dialogue is important. So that means you have to understand the position of those you're differing with. Hopefully you do. And in that case, don't compare yourself to Rosa Parks, because it would say to us, you really don't understand the comparison. All right, back with your calls on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I know I still have to get to this stuff about sorcery in Iran. I promised that at the outset of the broadcast today. I will get back to it. Before I go to your phones, phone calls, just quickly, have you read about the clashes, Muslim-Christian clashes in Egypt, and you get the idea that there's just fighting going back and forth? You're talking about acts of all-out assault, even murder on Christians by Muslims, wounding people, burning buildings. Allegedly, a Muslim woman converts to Christianity. Next thing, there are all these riots that break out. Even if it's true, it just exposes what you're dealing with. In other words, even if she did convert and now is being protected by other Christians, this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with death threats. You're dealing with people coming to take you out if you convert. This is not a matter of clashes. This is a matter of Muslims attacking Christians and Christians trying to protect themselves. Let's get this reported right. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the elections here in America. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire to weigh in. Donna in Germantown, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I wanted to comment on the Ron Paul snippet that you did. I really get upset when I hear our could-be elected officials say that that they want all these decision-making policies to go back to the states. Because if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it now President Obama that made the statement that we're not defined by our borders? Do you remember that statement?
I don't know the exact statement that you have in mind, so I can't comment on it, but go ahead.
Well, he made a statement to that effect, that we're not defined by our borders. But, you know, I see it this way also from my perspective, and I believe what the Word of God says. When you take the state of Israel and you want to, it's a sovereign country, and you want to divide it into and tell it to how to carry out its rights and responsibilities the way it governs its own people, to me, that's part of the curse. God says, I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. And to me, this is part of the curse. If we can see no more clearly than to say that to Israel, then here we go with our own politicians instead of, you know, it's always, we're not defined by our borders unless you don't want to be defined by state borders and be a sovereign nation, one nation under God, like the United States is supposed to be. Then all of a sudden, we have our so-called to be possibly elected officials saying, well, you know, the government shouldn't get in this. Yes. You know, when God judges us, he's going to judge nations also. And righteousness exalts the nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And to me, it's negligent in the governmental duties to say that we're not going to protect the most basic of elements that make up this country, and that's the family, or as I have to laughingly say, the breeders in the Beltway.
All right. Yeah, got you,
that's
Donna.
That's my comment, and thank you for listening.
All right, all clear. Thank you so much for weighing in, Donna. So Donna takes strong exception, and we're just trying to get the exact quote from President Obama that he did say with regard to how we are defined as a nation, or not defined. But Donna's one of those saying, no, we rise and fall as a nation. God looks at us as a nation. To put everything in the hands of the state is a problem. There are many others that passionately see things the opposite. But let's just remember, Defensive Marriage Act, DOMA, would talk about and does talk about the states having the right to define marriage as the union of a man and woman. And that is something that our president says he will no longer defend. And that is something you could bring up every day until the elections. It is that outrageous, that wrong, that profoundly off. And remember, our president said in debates leading up to election that for him, he believed marriage was the union of a man and woman. He said that. Did he not? Did he not say that? Didn't that cause some of you to say, okay, I can vote for him? All the stuff I hear that he's for gay marriage and stuff, it can't be true because he recognizes marriage as the union of a man and woman. That's the very thing he says will no longer be defended by the government because it is, quote, discriminatory. 866-34-TRUTH. If the elections were held today, who would you vote for and why? I guess we got one Ron Paul follower so far, but let's see if we've got others who want to weigh in on more broad issues as well as the specific candidate question. Matt in Secaucus, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I just want to say, too, regarding your joke, I think Jesus could actually have been considered an Italian Catholic as well, based on your reasons.
Oh, for those same four?
Not just Jewish, yeah. At least that's the way I was raised as a Italian Catholic before I kind of left that tradition.
Got it.
So anyway, yeah, I don't care much about what Ron Paul thinks in the previous call. I shouldn't really worry because he is not going to be a presidential candidate. I mean, I don't know the future, but I can kind of bet my money on that.
Yeah, I understand that. I think even some of his followers, say that you know, with his age, what is he, 75? But I'm not pro or con Ron Paul. That's not the major issue to me. But
yeah, neither
anyway.
Am I. I mean, me personally, I wouldn't vote for him. I'm not really like interested in many of his other views. I don't know who I would vote for at this point. I did agree with sort of his opinion on gay marriage, at least in that context. And then I wanted to call up to ask you about, you know, your own argument that you were making about sort of the role of government in marriage. And obviously, you know, what the Bible says is clear about homosexuality. I just wonder if should you be framing your argument in a more honest way in terms of your religious beliefs instead of sort of in the context of more civil beliefs, which is more designed to sort of lessen the tensions between diverse peoples? I mean, that's how we should define ourselves as a nation, that people with opposing, conflicting views can get along in some way.
All right, let me address this directly. The first thing is, I'm being completely forthright dealing with a civil issue. I'm giving a civil argument. I'm being completely forthright. I have my personal convictions based on Scripture. I act on them. I live by them. I vote by them. But in terms of government policy, I have to ask why the government has policy in the first place. So again, to repeat, the only reason that society conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on society. Otherwise, there's no good reason whatsoever for the government to care. I mean, who gives the government the right to say we sanction your private romantic or sexual relationship? If it's not breaking a law, why is the government even involved? Government's only involved because marriage conveys benefits on society. How? By reproducing children for the next generation, which only a man and woman can do by themselves, and by joining a child to a mom and dad, which is in the best interest of that child. A gay marriage cannot reproduce without outside help, and normally at that, it's very costly and difficult. On top of that, it guarantees that the child will have neither a mother or a father. Won't have one or the other. We'll either have no mother or no father, guaranteed, which is a negative for that child. And why would the government be endorsing that? As for the government wanting to make sure everybody gets along, first, that's not the role of the government to make sure that everybody gets along in that broad sense. But in point of fact, Matt, if same-sex marriage becomes the law, you will see the most hostile opposition to anyone that says it's not the law. You will find that we will be now branded bigots, intolerant. You will find here. In fact, I've got this story here. Check this out. Peter Vidmar steps down from the Olympics post after his views on gay marriage are known. Peter Vidmar has resigned as a chief of mission for the U.S. Olympic team in 2012 after controversy erupted over his vigorous opposition to gay marriage. So the fact that Peter Vidmar says that his personal religious beliefs are that marriage should only be the union of a man and woman is considered so controversial that he has to step down as a chief of mission for the U.S. Olympic team. You're talking about intolerance coming against us from every level. You're talking about once society says same-sex marriage is the law, that those of us who differ will be treated just like those were treated who said that a black man can't marry a white woman, as if there was any comparison there. So quite the contrary, this will affect all of us very deeply. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, real quick, let's play President Obama's clip. Do we have it?
Mr. President, your visit speaks to a truth of our time in North America and the world. In the 21st century, we are defined not by our borders, but by our bonds. So I say to you and to the Mexican people, let us stand together. Let us face the future together. Let us work together. Trabajemos juntos.
Por último, señor presidente.
Oh, okay, we can. Great, thanks. Thanks, guys, for retrieving that quote. Well done in the studio there. So that's where he said we're defined not by our borders, but by our bonds. That's what our caller, Donna from Maryland, was taking exception to. 866-34-TRUTH. If the elections were being held today, who would you vote for and why? I'll tell you this, in Elliott and Woodbridge, you'll be Woodbridge Township, New Jersey, you'll be up next. For me, I am looking for a leader with strong moral conviction more than anything else. Someone who's a genuine leader, someone who has strong moral conviction. I think they can hire out, find people to help them with all the other areas, but being a leader and having strong moral conviction, nobody can help you with that.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. Before I go back to the phones, I've been promising some comments about sorcery in Iran. What would make this story less of a concern is the idea that Iran did not have access to nuclear power, nuclear bombs, but they continue to get very close to potential of being able to manufacture a nuclear bomb. So President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran is increasingly in conflict with the senior clerics, the senior Islamic leaders, who have veto power over anything elected officials want to do. The clerics are trying to get rid of Ahmadinejad and his zealots against corrupt clerics' associates. So now the senior clerics are sending the police, which the clergy control, to arrest key Ahmadinejad aides and accuse them of witchcraft and sorcery. This led to street brawls between fans of Ahmadinejad and Islamic hardliners. And then, of course, there is the idea that Ahmadinejad is really looking for, believing in the coming of the 12th Imam, this is Islamic leader who will bring redemption to the world and destroy the enemies of Islam. They have a certain anticipation that would be similar to, although not as pervasive, as the Christian view in the return of Jesus. So, I mean, it's weird and it's wacky and it's out there. And yet this is someone who has some real power and who is constantly threatening to wipe out the Jews. Doesn't mean you get worried. It just means you pray. In fact, at the end of the broadcast, I'll give you some counsel as to how to live in the midst of all the craziness and shaking that surrounds us. Okay, Elliot, Woodbridge, New Jersey, Woodbridge Township. Sorry. Thanks for holding.
Yes, sir. I'd like to talk about how important it is for myself as a loyal citizen of the United States, and how important it is for people who are loyal citizens of the United States to vote for people who are strongly, uncompromisingly pro-life.
Yes, sir.
The Declaration of Independence states, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Bill of Rights of the United States states, nor shall any person be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, in the New Testament, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 41, says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist's mother is Elizabeth, and of course Mary is the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 22, verse 10, God's word says, quote, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. So God's word clearly states that unborn human beings are just that. They're human beings, and they have the right to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, in this country and other countries, abortion is a silent holocaust that people don't really hear about. And people have to vote, no matter whether it's Democrat or Republican. The person has to be uncompromisingly, strongly pro-life. That is extremely important, because then God's blessings can flow to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Elliot. Yeah, I'm with you, inch for inch, point for point, scripture for scripture. The shedding of innocent blood, the taking away of the rights of the most innocent of all Americans, is an absolute atrocity. And while it's good to have someone in power who has an economic head on their shoulders and who has an understanding about national security and other things, the biggest issue we need is the biggest thing we need is the blessing of God. We need the smile of God. And if we don't have the smile of God, forget it. And if we cannot have civility and show humanity towards our most innocent, precious citizens, then how can we possibly show it to one another?
And God will bless that, because see, what will happen is, because when people are seen as being sacred and gifts from God, then God will, all of a sudden, he will intervene in whether a situation be financial or protecting the country from terrorism or other threats. He will, his holy hand will guide the country and protect and bless this country.
Absolutely.
The U.S. Supreme Court, here's a quote from 1892, "Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian." And that's what it means to be a true Christian. Look at all the good work all these godly charities do.
Yeah.
Christian Blind Mission, American Leprosy Mission in South Carolina.
Yeah, you know, Elliot, let me just jump in, though, just because we're up against the end of the show here. But thank you, Elliot, for weighing in. I've been waiting for a call about pro-life issues, so I'm glad we got it in before the show was over. But again, Elliot, thanks for weighing in. And the point Elliot was about to make is that the true expression of followers of Jesus is going to be doing good in the society. Friends, evangelicals and others, pro-life Catholics and others, have not been wrong in being like a broken record saying abortion, abortion, abortion must be absolutely central in our voting. I want to challenge every one of you. I want to challenge every single one of you who voted for Mr. Obama, knowing his radical pro-abortion position. He is the most radical pro-abortion, pro-gay rights president in our history. I want to challenge every one of you who voted for him, either just being tired of the Republican candidates, not believing in John McCain, or simply saying we've got to have a black man in the White House to bring redemption in our society and change things, or that you agreed with some others. Whatever it is, I want to challenge you. This has nothing to do to me with Democrat, Republican, and I do not identify as Republican, by the way. This has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican, and absolutely has nothing to do with skin color. I want to challenge every one of you that put morality second, that knowingly voted for someone who was pro-abortion. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, I want to challenge you to go to God about that and wrestle with it in word, and I want to challenge you to repent of that vote. Oh, yeah. As forthright as I can be about that. No, I don't know who I would vote for today. I have no clue who's actually going to be running, but I can guarantee you I would not vote for a president who is aggressively, or a candidate who is aggressively pro-abortion. I would not vote for a candidate who is aggressively for gay activism, and I would not vote for a president who is aggressively against Israel, although for the most part they will come out at least on some level and say they are pro-Israel. Friends, let's wake up to reality. Let's do what's right in God's sight. For me, I'm looking for someone who is a genuine leader. Can't be the president without being a leader. A genuine leader with strong moral character and strong godly moral conviction. That, to me, is the person I will vote for. Okay, wonderful resource we want to get in your hands. It is four of my most important debates, all on DVD, debating Professor Bart Ehrman on the problem of suffering, debating Rabbi Shmuley Boteach on the issue of homosexuality, debating Rabbi Gold on Jesus being the Messiah, debating along with James White, debating Anthony Buzzard and Joseph Good on the deity of Jesus and God's triune nature. 8 hours of debates on five DVDs, just $45 for all four debates. It's a great resource for you, for your friends. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Get the special debate offer, 1-800-278-9978, or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Here's my bottom line. Yes, let's look around. Let's see what's happening in the world. Let's see what's happening in society. But then let's look up. Let's be focused on Jesus. Let's be focused on the reality of his return. And then let's look down and make sure that our feet are planted firmly in God, in his word, in godly living. And we will never be shaken. Well, there are presidential debates already taking place, and there's talk about sorcery in the leadership in Iran. We'll sort it all out right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, look, I know it's May 9th. I'm looking at my clock, which has the date and the hour and the second. In fact, these seconds tell us how to be right on time here on the Line of Fire. I know it's only May 9th, 2011, and the elections are not until November of 2012, but there's enough going on, enough talk already, that we're going to start to flush out some of the issues here on the Line of Fire. Yes, we will seek to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, and we'll take your calls. I want to get your feedback. If the elections were being held today, who would you vote for? Would you vote for Barack Obama to be reelected? Would you vote for one of the current Republican candidates or someone emerging in the Tea Party? Would you vote for someone who's not on the list of candidates yet? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. You can weigh in there or on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I want to talk to you about a few Islamic-related things. I've got a stack here that I have not yet gotten to after 1 hour of broadcasting today. And, oh, how many other controversies do I want to raise? We shall see. To all the moms listening, happy Mother's Day to one and all. I started our first hour of broadcasting, which goes to the New York area, wishing my wonderful mom a happy birthday, and a happy birthday, happy Mother's Day. Get the days right, get the days right. Happy Mother's Day. So for moms listening, yeah, enjoy it another day. Enjoy it another day. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before we talk about presidential elections and things happening in America, there's an article by Dr. Michael Youssef, who's heard on many of these same stations. It was published on OneNewsNow.com. Bin Laden's success beyond the grave. Let me just share this with you because I think it's a realistic perspective we need to consider. He writes, when the euphoria dies down and the feeling that vengeance for September 11th, 2001 has been exacted, America and its allies will realize what a few have already. Osama bin Laden has won. In fact, he has succeeded beyond his wildest imagination. Osama became more than a terrorist on 9/11. He became an ideology. One that has flourished and grown as our brave soldiers have fought and died in foreign lands. Americans will wake up to this reality eventually, hopefully. In his late-night speech on May 1st, President Obama said the United States is not and never will be at war with Islam, but instead at war with Osama bin Laden and his motley crew. This blind denial of reality is how Osama achieved his greatest success. The president confirmed my worst fears, Youssef says. America was so focused on capturing one man that they let his ideology run free and rampant. If you doubt me, consider these facts about Obama's success over the past 10 years. Islamic ideology seeking global takeover domination is on the march in countries that used to be pro-West before the Obama administration, such as Egypt, Tunisia, and Yemen. They are now all in the hands of Islamists. Islamic terrorist groups such as Hamas and Hezbollah are tightening the noose around Israel's neck with the help of newly conquered nations like Egypt. Sharia law has invaded banks, business institutions, and law firms in the U.S. The growth of hundreds of Sharia courts in Europe, which are attempting to make their way to America's heartland. The continuing plans to build a Cordoba mosque near Ground Zero, the ultimate symbol of the triumph of Islamic ideology, no matter how they market it. The complete sympathy towards Islamic ideology by the Western media. These, Youssef writes, are just a few of the successes of the al-Qaeda leader since September 11, 2001. The truth is that Osama bin Laden left millions of foot soldiers who are accomplishing and will continue to advance his life goal, albeit through different methodologies. Just because a man is not wielding a bomb or hijacking a plane does not mean he isn't a terrorist. There is no doubt that these Islamic victories were aided by the adamant denial of many in the West that we are not at war with Islam. As the famed idiom goes, you can't see the forest for the trees. I fear that when we finally take a look around, the world as we once knew it will be gone. I'll give you my response to that when we come back. Take your calls about the next president.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, thanks so much for joining us here on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If the elections were being held today, who would you vote for and why? 866-348-7884. My goal is not to be political on this show. My goal is to get a kingdom perspective on what's happening in society, happening in the news. AskDrBrown.org is the website. Okay, just a couple of comments on Islam, and then we'll go to your calls. And I've also got some audio clips I want to play from some presidential candidates. Let's understand, when we're dealing with Islam, that even Muslims who are not looking to engage in suicide bombing missions, who disagreed with the blowing up of the World Trade Center and attack on the Pentagon, etc., who don't endorse suicide bombings in Israel, who say, no, that's not the way we're supposed to fight. If we're in a war, then we fight with weapons and so on, but we're not. For those Muslims that hold to those views, that would be more pacifistic in their approach, they still would believe in Islamic global conquest. And let me give you the context. As followers of Jesus, we believe in the Great Commission, right? We want the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. We want to see everyone hear the message of Jesus. We want to see the nations made into disciples. We want to see the name of Jesus exalted over the entire earth, correct? All right. Where we would differ with Islam, because Islam wants to see the message of Islam go around the world, and they want to see Allah exalted and the teachings of Muhammad received around the world. Where we differ with Islam is here, that Islam does not make any distinction between the political, the natural, the earthly, family, education, and the spiritual. They're all one and the same. In other words, in an Islamic country, you not only have Islamic law for how you're supposed to live in private, what foods you can and can't eat, what prayers you pray and when you pray them, but there are also going to be laws in terms of murder and rape and robbery and marriage and other things like that. And that would all be determined by the state, because the goal is to bring everything under Islam. So those wanting to spread Islam want to spread it in a holistic way. And therefore, of course, they would want to see Sharia law wherever they are, because they want to see a society operate under Islamic law. And the more that they can gain dominance or prominence or preeminence in a society, the more that they will put forth Islamic values, Islamic laws, and the more that they will seek to enforce those. Is that clear? So yes, Michael Youssef is absolutely right that there's an ideology that is spread. And the biggest concern to me is that we're so afraid to speak out publicly, graciously against it. I don't mean by mocking Muhammad or ridiculing the Quran or burning the Quran. I'm simply saying, by saying we disagree with this as a religion, as followers of Jesus, we differ with this, or whatever the thing is, that we don't have to just bow down to this ideology and be so politically correct about it, and then to recognize that there is a strong terrorist, militaristic, expansionist part of Islam that is true to various Islamic teachings and that engages in atrocities around the world. We have to recognize that, and some of that is in America, and would love to inflict all types of horrific damage on our country. For me, the thing is not to plead for great America to be greater. For me, the thing to do is to pray for the kingdom of God to come in power, for the kingdom of God to invade the kingdom of Islam, for Jesus to be mightily, wonderfully, gloriously exalted in the Muslim world, and for Christians and others in America to stand up for what is right without shame. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before I go to the calls, I mentioned in the previous hour, I'm going to repeat it now, that I was quite stunned when people began to ask me why I was bringing up race early on when Mr. Obama was running for president. When I took issue with some of his policies, and mainly just moral issues is what I was dealing with, abortion issues, gay activist issues, and it was clear that he would be the most radically pro-abortion, pro-gay activist president in American history. If you don't believe that, just look at his record, look at his words, look at his deeds. So that was my issue. I was shocked when people started to call in and say, why do you have to bring up race? I thought, what do you mean bring up race? Just bring up race. I'm talking about issues. Skin color is immaterial to me. I would love to see a black president in the White House. I think that would be a great testament in America and about redemption and reversing our past and so on. It's got to be the right person. Then there was skin color to me. So to illustrate that point, I want to play a clip from Herman Cain. Let me just tell you about Herman Cain in case you're not familiar with him. Born December 13, 1945, American newspaper columnist, businessman, political activist, radio talk show host, best known as the former chairman and CEO of Godfather's Pizza, etc. So last week, Republican presidential candidates have a debate, and according to some focus groups, Herman Cain, to everybody's shock, won hands down, according to some. I watched a focus group in which almost everyone in this focus group was white, maybe a couple of people of color in that group. Basically, everybody was white, and almost every one of them said that they came in. One of them said they came in thinking Herman Cain would be the best candidate. Everybody else did not have him on their radar at all, and almost every one of them said they thought he was the best. Oh, he's a black man. He's an African-American. Oh, so maybe it's never been about skin color. Maybe that hasn't been the issue. I'm sure for some. I'm sure they're racist both ways, white racist, black racist. That's not the issue. But perhaps skin color hasn't been the issue. Perhaps saying it's skin color has been a cop-out for some. Perhaps folks have been unwilling. I don't care what color of skin you are listening to me, but perhaps folks have been unwilling to really engage the issues, and talking about skin color has been a cop-out. Perhaps. It's possible. So here's what Herman Cain had to say at a recent conservative political gathering.
Let it be borne in mind that the tragedy of life does not lie in not reaching your goals. The tragedy lies in having no goals to reach for. It's not a calamity to die with dreams unfulfilled, but it is a calamity to have no dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, the American dream is under attack. But the good news is we are fighting back.
All right, so here is a black American that has gained the support immediately of many white Americans because they like what he has to say. And remember, without millions and millions, tens of millions of white Americans voting for Mr. Obama, he would not be the president. I want to challenge everyone who a few years ago on this very radio broadcast told me that they thought race was the issue or that I was bringing up race. I want to challenge you, especially if you've listened to me through these years. You know how little I mentioned President Obama, whereas some conservatives go after him every single day. It has to be something very large before I'll bring up his name and an issue. But I've told you from the start, it was never a matter of color to me or a matter of gender to me. It was a matter of the positions people held to. So if you are African-American listener, and you have historically voted Democrat, so you voted liberally for various reasons. Now you see what Mr. Obama has done with his radical pro-abortion and radical pro-gay activist positions to the detriment of our nation. Will you not vote for him the next time around? If you're a Jewish listener, I'm Jewish. If you're a Jewish listener and you have primarily voted Democrat based on your social stance, and you claim to hold to the Bible as your authority, will you now recognize that you were wrong in voting for it, Mr. Obama? Or are you going to tell me, no, it's so much bigger than that. Why do you just focus like a broken record on abortion and gay activist issues? Why do you just focus on that? And of course, I could add Israel in as another of my three pillars of non-negotiable items, standing with Israel. Some of you say, you're like a broken record, man. You got no depth. You don't understand what's happening. Society's a lot bigger than that. We got the economy to deal with. Forget these moral issues. The economy crumbles. It's all over. And come on, we got these national security issues. If we don't get those things right, who cares about these other moral issues? There's not going to be any more America. And there's so many other big issues. You are so narrow-minded, one track, when you just focus on abortion. That's the only thing you talk about, or gay activism. Gay man, it's the only thing you talk about. It's Israel. Get over it, man. They're bigger issues. If that's your position, if I just articulated your position, give me a call. 866-34-TRUTH, or if you think that these issues, these moral issues, these foundational moral social issues are just that, foundational, you can call 866-34-TRUTH. We'll all right, I'm not going to rush any calls now, so hang on the line. We'll get to your call shortly, 866-34-TRUTH. But check this out. A missionary friend for many years overseas, now back in the States, got a copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Said, yeah, I've got the book. I've been slowly progressing through the pages. You have a lot of material to digest. Rather an irksome and grievous subject, but it needs to be addressed. And then something comes up where he's living in the newspaper. Saturday, I was confronted about an article posted in Tulsa World, which I included below, the stories about a young boy, Luke, becoming a girl, Katie. And he says, you know, he wants to finish reading my book before interacting more fully with these people. But this is what he says. Now, after just being confronted a little more clearly, terrible things are coming to our country. We need an army of prophets. I know that where sin abounds, God's grace abounds all the more. Oh, yeah. Wake up time. Back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's a new skill I have to work on. Normally, I don't have lunch. I'll have like a protein bar or something like that, and then I'll have dinner. And I'm not much of a breakfast person because I normally go to sleep late and sleep in kind of later in the morning if I'm able to. So anyway, I've been trying to get my meals in today and have a protein bar somewhere during the broadcast. But this protein bar I'm eating, it's got a lot of protein and healthy stuff, but it's really thick. And it takes like all of 2 minutes to take a little bite and chew in it and digest it and be ready to go after the next break. So I've got one little last piece to go. Hopefully I can do that at the half hour break. We'll see if this works. Boy, this is not easy. Yet another skill needed by radio hosts. 866-34-TRUTH. If the elections were being held today, who would you vote for and why? We're talking about presidential elections. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Okay, before we go to the phones, remember, today's the 9th. That means 2 days. Just two days. Raleigh. We'll be in Raleigh with you all day. So Wednesday from 11:30 to 1, special meeting for pastors, ministry leaders, and business leaders about our religious freedoms under fire. This could be one of the most important meetings you have been at in years. If you can come, we need to hear from you. 919-781-3249. This is just for the Raleigh luncheon. 919-781-3249 to RSVP or go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. And then tomorrow, Wednesday night in Raleigh, 7 o'clock, this will be the first assembly in Raleigh. A special meeting about the need for awakening in the church and society. Your hearts will be stirred. Very important day that we'll be spending in Raleigh this coming week. Okay, to the phones, Brian in Jacksonville. Thanks for holding, and thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Yes, hello?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, my name is Brian, sir. Yeah, I would like to see Roe versus Wade overturned, sir.
Yeah, that's major.
I think that is major, and I also I like the idea of the fact that as far as Christians goes, like these mosques being built and stuff, I'd like to see all that changed where they can't do stuff like that in America. So that's where I'm sort of at, sir. And but I do believe the Roe versus Wade would be a number one priority.
If you were voting, and obviously people being put in the Supreme Court now under Mr. Obama would be part of that vote. But if you were voting for any one person, is there a candidate that has your attention yet?
Not really, sir. Not anybody that I would say that I'm really too interested. I like Huckabee, but I don't know if he's going to run this time or not.
Right, but the number one issue then that you would focus on is the issue of abortion, and I'm with you on that. At that being one of the top three items on my list and an absolute non-negotiable. I don't care if this is the most brilliant economic, political, military person we've had. If they have the wrong view on these moral issues, I can't vote for them. Hey, Brian, thanks for weighing in. You speak for many others. Barbara in Honolulu, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, my pleasure, Dr. Brown. God bless the Line of Fire and continue to bless you also.
Thank
you. If the elections were held today, I can say, based on my knowledge of the last 3 years, that I would well, let me put it this way. President Obama has made me a Republican. I'm an African-American female. I'm 63 years old. I just retired from the United States Navy after 30 years, and the only reason I did that was because of my cancer. But if the elections were held today, Barack Obama would not be the person I vote for. And let me tell you why. We have, over the last few years, been looking at nothing but smoke and mirrors, okay? The focus in the Middle East, even though Israel has not played a big part in the last few months, that is the focus. Everything that's going on around Israel is to get to the point where they can't attack Israel. So if the United States of America ever pulls its support from Israel, Jesus will return.
So we're in big trouble if we pull our support, in other words. Hey, Barbara, thanks for weighing in, and may the Lord give you grace and health and strength in the coming days. Much appreciated. Let's see. Kirk in Lakeland, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. Hello, sir. Dr.
Hello.
Brown.
Yes.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. This is my first time hearing your program. I am excited. I usually tune in to Jan Apostles of America at 5, but you guys are right on the nail. Kudos to you guys. My question to you guys is this. Would you please inform the listeners that regarding the moral issues like abortion, that it should take front and center stage, and would you please help us, your listeners, connect the dots between the Social Security problem and the abortion issue and how it has affected our economy and things of this nature?
Yes, absolutely, Kurt, and thank you for raising those. And Janet Parshall does a great job, too. We appreciate Janet. Okay, here's what Kurt is pointing out. Absolutely, we need to hold to the sanctity of life beginning in the womb. Absolutely. Absolutely, we need to recognize the fact that when we devalue life in the womb, we devalue all life. When we don't protect the personhood of our most innocent Americans, our most unprotected Americans, when we don't protect them, we diminish our own understanding of life and we breed a more and more violent culture. But there's more to it, and that's what Kurt wants us to connect. When you are talking about wiping out tens of millions of Americans that could have been contributing to society, you say, yeah, well, many of them weren't wanted. Well, there are plenty of unwanted kids coming into the world all the time, okay? And we don't kill them when they're 6 months old because they're unwanted. The question is that's why you don't get pregnant with them. And then there are plenty others desperately wanting to adopt and have to go through so many hoops in order to do it. But here's the issue. As we have a diminishing birth rate, as we have a diminishing workforce, we have diminishing numbers of people paying into things like Social Security. So, for example, there are other countries that have now dipped precariously beneath the 2.1 children per couple around the world, countries like Japan, countries like Russia, countries like Greece and Italy and Spain, they have dropped way beneath those rates, which means that the country cannot sustain itself, which means that as the generation ages, there is no support system. There are not adequate younger people being raised up to support them. So you're talking about a massive issue that really affects us. And by the way, the only reason in America that we haven't dipped beneath that is because of the higher birth rate of many of our immigrants, especially of many of our Hispanic immigrants, a higher birth rate. That's why. And in some of the foreign countries, some of the European countries, it's starting to shift because of a really high Islamic birth rate. So the implications of this are huge. But recognizing the importance of life in the womb, and that's the only reason that the government gets involved in marriage, because as I was emphasizing in the first hour, the reason that society conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on the society. Kurt, thank you for the call. Much appreciated. We come back. I'm going to play an interesting soundbite from Ron Paul, talk a little bit more about Islam, talk about the elections, and then tell you how I would view ultimately who I would vote for. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Shake the nations. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So if the elections were held today, who would you vote for? Why? I know it's only May. I understand it's only May. We just celebrated Mother's Day yesterday. I understand that. However, these issues are coming up now, re-election issues coming up constantly. I want us to get some clear moral thinking. Are we being just one-track, narrow-minded, fundamentalist fanatics when we hold to moral issues as being preeminent, primary in terms of how we're going to vote? We miss. What about the economy? What about if we just fall into complete economic collapse because of our debtor nation status and all this and our out of control budgets? And if we can't protect our borders, it would be wiped out anyway. So you need a strong military leader, strong economic leader, and moral stuff. Well, that's secondary. Or is it the right way to look at things? Because what we need more than anything is the blessing of God. What we need more than anything is the smile of God. What we need more than anything is God being with us. 866-34-TRUTH, if the elections were being held today, who would you vote for and why? Before I take your calls, we've talked also a little bit earlier in the program, our first half hour, about some things happening with regard to Islam. I have an email here that came from a dear friend who works with a ministry in Sudan. And he says, after your commitment in prayer, the abducted girl student, Beta Keji, has been found. She is suffering from a bullet wound in her leg. Beta Keji was a grade 3 student in the Nugent School in Loka, who was abducted by the deadly Lord's Resistance Army led by Joseph Kony. She brought great joy to her village when she arrived home. There were many tears of love, sympathy, and a confirmation that God's timing is perfect. This is what a lot of the world is dealing with, friends. These kinds of issues. Children being stolen from homes, taken in field, raids coming in and people being butchered, children taken away, sold into sex slavery, sold into slavery, into an Islamic home. These are things our fellow brothers and sisters are dealing with. Let's not lose sight of this, okay? Let's not lose sight of these realities. You may have read in the news about clashes in Egypt, Muslim-Christian clashes. It gives you the idea that the Christians are attacking Muslims and Muslims are attacking Christians. That's a completely misguided picture. What is happening is that Christians, Coptic Christians, who have lived side by side with Muslims, yeah, not with the total rights of Islam in the country, but live peacefully for the most part, side by side with Muslims for many years, are getting attacked much more. Let me just make clear, there has been persecution, of course, through the years. But it's intensified recently with the Mubarak government out of the way. It's intensified recently. Attacks on churches, burning of church buildings, attacking of people, burning of people, shooting, killing people. Just a report that a Muslim woman's converted to Christianity will spark all kinds of riots as has just happened. So let's remember, friends, let's remember when we're looking at this, that this is a matter of Christians being persecuted because they are Christians in Egypt. This is a matter of atrocities being committed against fellow brothers and sisters. Doesn't Hebrews 13 tell us to remember those in prison as if we were in prison with them? It's not primarily talking about prison ministry. Praise God for prison ministry. Thank God for prison ministry. We have grads from Fire School of Ministry who are involved with prison ministry. By all means, be involved with it. But that's primarily not what it's talking about. It's talking about brothers and sisters who are in chains for the gospel. Remember them as if we ourselves were in chains. No, not all Muslims, not most Muslims are guilty of terrorist acts, but let's remember that many are. Let's remember that our brothers and sisters are suffering much for the gospel. Let us speak the truth in love. Okay, when we come back, and before the show's over, I've just got to mention some of the weird stuff, crazy stuff happening in Iran, and then we'll take your calls about presidential elections. We've got a soundbite from Ron Paul to play as well, and I'll weigh in with my simple guidelines as to who I would vote for and who I wouldn't vote for. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's dive in on these presidential issues. I've just been wanting to catch up with some things after the weekend, some Islamic-related issues and some other things. But presidential debate, presidential candidates, a lot of discussion about these things. We're going to weigh in on them now, not to be political, but to get a kingdom perspective on society. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. It is truly our desire to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. So we need our heads screwed on right when it comes to who we vote for as president. Before we go to your calls, listen to this clip from Ron Paul about marriage.
Congressman Paul, in 2007, in an interview, you were asked, should gays be allowed to marry? You said, quote, sure, they can do whatever they want and call it whatever they want. Are you advocating legalizing gay marriage in this country?
Well, matter of fact, I spent a whole chapter in a new book I've written on marriage, and I think it's very important, seeing that I've been married for 53, 54 years now. But I think the government should just be out of it. I think it should be done by the church or private contract, and we shouldn't have this argument, who's married and who isn't married. I have my standards, but I shouldn't have to impose my standards on others. Others have standards, and they have no right to impose their marriage standards on me. And I just don't like it. But if we want to have something to say about marriage, it should be at the state level and not at the federal government. Just get the government out of it. It's one area where it's totally unnecessary, and they've caused more trouble than necessary.
All right. Given that answer, I have to ask you about your defense of the Defense of Marriage Act, which defines marriage as between one man and one woman. Even just weeks ago, you criticized this administration for its decision to no longer defend it against legal challenges.
And the main reason there is the Defense of Marriage Act. And I've been quoted as I voted for it. Of course, I supported it, but I wasn't there. But because that bill actually protects the states. See, I do recognize that the federal government shouldn't tell the states what to do. And the Defense of Marriage Act was really designed to make sure that the states have the privilege of dealing with it, and the federal government can't impose their standards on them.
Yeah, aside from the state issue and the states having the right to determine what they do with marriage, I totally disagree with his position on this as far as the government should stay out of it. I mean, let me say it one more time. The reason the government even gets involved in our private relations, in our romantic and sexual and financial relations, I'm talking about in the bonds of marriage, the only reason the government gets involved is because the government cares about what marriage does. Same-sex marriage should not be legal because it's not marriage. Marriage, by definition, and for the good of society, is the union of a man and woman with the potential of coming together in a lifelong commitment to bring children into the world and to join those kids to a mom and dad. That's why the government cares about it, and it should care about it. And to redefine it is to undermine one of the very foundations of our society. All right, to the phones. Let's start it with Chris in Marietta, Georgia. I believe you wanted to weigh in on the Islam issue as well.
I did. First thing I want to urge everybody to do is wake up. In Revelation, the Antichrist is spoken of, and my belief, it's a body of people. That being said, that body of people, undoubtedly Islam and the Muslims. I urge everybody to read the book, Muslims in America, available at your local bookstore, and you can go in and read it for free. My personal experiences with them have been financially harmful, and they've deliberately done this. To go on to the next section, as in Revelation, I think most of us have read that the Antichrist will come up against Christ, and then he will be broken. They've just officially came up against Christ in my book. They will be broken, and we will prevail. Make no mistake, the Muslims at home, when the media tells us that Islam is not our enemy, that I don't believe to be true. I believe all Muslims and all of Islam is our enemy, and they've set up here and infiltrated us. We need to wake up to it and take back what belongs to us. And people should stand up and not be afraid. Not be afraid to be vocal about it. This is our land. It's our religion. We're Christians. They hate us. Then they shouldn't be here. And that's pretty much where I stand, and that's what I wanted everybody to know. I urge everybody to read that book, Muslims in America.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks for weighing in. You have made yourself perfectly clear. By the way, tomorrow in the first hour, so you won't be hearing that live on your stations, I'll be interviewing Professor Craig Keener on the Book of Revelation. And then I'll be carrying over that discussion on the book of Revelation into this second hour. So I guess my big question would be, can we rightly line up everything in the book of Revelation with our generation today? Are we doing a right thing in lining that up, as Chris suggests we do, or is that wrong interpretation of the book? So just put that out. And again, you can weigh in freely here. I'm not going to correct or differ with every single caller, or some callers I'll say amen to. This much I will say. Ideologically, Islam opposes what we stand for, and ideologically, Islam wants America to become a Muslim nation, just like we want to see Saudi Arabia come to faith in Jesus, or Iran come to faith in Jesus, the people within it. Islam will look at it in a more holistic way of ideological, and then even, when appropriate, military conquest of a country, of a people, with their religion. Your average Muslim is not going to be supporting suicide bombings, but they absolutely will support the spread of Islam and want to see Islam rule as supreme. That's just the way we want to see the gospel go forward, except we're not looking to take over as much as make disciples of the nations. Islam would look to take over. Right, one more call on Islam, then back to the elections. Sean in Lakeland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, you're on. You need to turn your radio down in the back. Go ahead. All right. Tell you what. Maybe you guys can get Sean sorted out there with his radio. Angel in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Can you hear me, Dr. Brown?
Oh, loud and clear, Angel.
Great. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm sorry.
I said go ahead. We're good.
Okay. Well, contrary to popular mainstream America belief, as a black woman born here in America, having been raised as a Republican my entire life, I just wish, and it is President Barack Obama all the way, and let me tell you why. Even though America wants to make it seem like it's a pro-life versus pro-choice issue, that's just a smokescreen. And the president is voted for the people, by the people. He is representing the people. And because evil has reigned in this country, then this is what we have now. Over the years, we've watered down the gospel to the point where people are living riotously and at the same time claiming to be Christians. Mm-hmm. So they have a sad faith. They don't have a real faith. This is what we have. And President Barack Obama basically, like I said, for the people, by the people. So it's not just a Barack Obama issue. It doesn't even matter who's in the presidency. But I'm so angry that when President Barack Obama was elected, the venom really came. And I mean, you know, I've always known it on a micro level, but you really get to see it on a macro level now. And it is nasty. It's hurtful. And one thing that I will say about you, Dr. Brown, is you are not in that category, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on the radio, but I have such a great sense of discernment. I know that you're real. I know you're the real deal. But the rest of these Tea Party bigots, let me calm down because, oh, my goodness, I'm just getting so. But, you know, with their lips, these people confess Christ, but with their heart, Christ is so far from them, you could just look around you and see it. And
all right, so hey, Angel. Yeah, well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for being as forthright as you've been. I appreciate that. And absolutely, I agree that the bigger issue is the state of America and the state of the church, not who's in the White House. But let me just ask you something. I used to listen to the radio and hear people bash President Bush constantly, and they wanted to hang Bush. They wanted to assassinate Bush. They wanted to get rid of him. Some of the harshest things I could ever imagine being heard. I never associated it with race, though. In other words, I don't think that's the issue. I played a quote from Herman Cain earlier, who's a black American running for a Republican presidential candidate. And I don't know much about him, but I liked some of what he had to say. I personally don't think it's a race issue. I think a lot of people voted for Mr. Obama based on race and look past his really bad stances on abortion and gay activism and that kind of thing. And many are reconsidering now. And I'm sure that you've gotten people who hate the president now also let some of their racism out. But I personally don't think these are race issues, just my own perception. Yet people who are bigots, thanks for recognizing I'm not one of them, Angel. People who are bigots, be they white bigots, black bigots, Asian bigots, whoever they are, Hispanic bigots, whenever you have controversy, that allows the bigotry to come up to the surface all the more. I understand that. And I'm sorry if you've been hit with some of that in the personal level, Angel. However, I believe the bigger issues are the issues. And somehow, Angel, folks like you and me are going to have to be able to talk to each other, as we're doing right now on the radio, be able to talk to each other and talk to one another in the society and get past the race issues and focus on the issues, because the issues are the issues, are they not? Don't forget Raleigh, our friends in Raleigh. 2 days from now, Wednesday, we'll be with you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So just another reminder, if you live in the greater Raleigh area, we'll be holding a special meeting this Wednesday, May 11th, 11:30 to 1, for pastors, ministry leaders, and business leaders. But you need to RSVP 919-781-3249. 919-781-3249, or go to askdrbrown.org. The number's there. And then open to the public. I want to see every one of you. If you're free this Wednesday night, First Assembly in Raleigh, 7 p.m., where we'll focus on awakening. Your hearts will be stirred. We've got some free CDs we'll be giving out as well. We'll be signing my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. So join us. All right. Back to the phones. Sean in Lakeland, thanks for calling. Hope we got our phone line worked out with you right now.
Yes. Tell people they need to read Revelation. The four horsemen are riding. Obama's going to close the banks 10 to 30 days. He has a machine that will hurt their brain and ears so bad with sound. He's trained the Army and the Marine Corps to do police duty to protect the rich, the famous, and elite. And
Sean, when is this machine going to sound? When is it going to be?
It's invented the military habit to use it on the people instead of bullets.
Okay, and when do you think it's going to be unleashed?
I don't know. As soon as they protest about the banks closing too long.
All right, and do you think it'll be able to stop me from doing radio?
If you're there, your ears and brain will hurt so much, you're lucky you'll be able to talk.
All right. Hey, Sean, thanks for weighing in, sir. You heard it first right here on the Line of Fire. Todd in Tampa, thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Dr. Brown, I just wanted to say that when you saw Herman Cain, even though I'm going to vote for Donald Trump when he runs and announces, okay, you saw a true African-American Republican, okay, and you saw greatness stand before you, even though the odds are against him making it, and you may be black, you may be Hispanic, you may be Italian, you may be Sicilian, it doesn't matter, you're American, okay? The president is terrible, okay? The president is terrible. You want to blame it on the people? No, when you draft a player in the first round and they don't make it, you can't cover it up. They just can't play. They're not ready for prime time. He's a bad president, okay?
And
Tom, terrible,
what would,
to be honest.
Yeah,
he calls himself.
What would be, hang on.
Go ahead.
Just because of time's sake, and I want to try to get to some more calls. I know you're fired up, which I appreciate.
Right.
In a nutshell, why would you vote for Donald Trump?
Well, Donald Trump, number one, he can win. Number two, he's able to articulate the conservative platform. Okay. Number three, he keeps his word. All right. The president says he's a Christian, but he's letting millions of abortions. I mean, don't you cringe that babies are being aborted today?
Doesn't that just
pain
you?
I'm just taking one thing. I mean, he is against the American people. He's not trying to help the American people.
I have profound objections, profound, with every fiber of my being, to our president's policies regarding abortion and gay activism. And those are enough to destroy us alone. No question. But we'll get to Trump more another day. Thank you for weighing in, Todd. I wish I had more time to talk, but time is short. Pat in Philadelphia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Go ahead.
Okay. Marriage. I want to talk about marriage, and I'm just concerned, you know, with the homosexual marriage, if we approve that, what's next? Is if a man loves his sister, is it okay for him to marry his sister? I just want to know how far we're going to go with this marriage business.
Yeah, Pat, let me say this. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, if you don't have it, just go online to Amazon.com and order it. A Queer Thing Happened to America. The last chapter of the book, I lay out where we're going, and I raise those concerns. As crazy as it would sound to people, bear in mind how crazy it sounded just a few years ago to talk about a man marrying a man or a man or a woman marrying a woman. There are cases before the courts in America and Canada right now and Europe arguing that a brother and sister should be able to marry, or a grown father or daughter should be able to have consensual sexual relations at the least. There are cases saying that polygamy should be recognized. So once you tamper with this, there's no question, Pat, it opens the door to all types of moral issues. If you have time, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on Voice of Revolution. You'll see a link to my debate on same-sex marriage, where I lay all this out in detail. Absolutely, it opens the door to the fundamental and more radical redefinition of marriage. It's a massive thing that we cannot avoid. Maurice in Charlotte, we're really short on time, but since I'm in Charlotte, I wanted to grab your call. What's your take, sir?
Hello, Dr. Brown?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm just calling because I'm just very upset about some of the comments that I'm hearing. I mean, Barack Obama, one thing I can say is that, I mean, this man has done what I think many presidents have failed to do, that is to establish a national health care. Not only that, but when you look at what he's done lately about, you know, having Osama bin Laden, you know, killed, I mean, he vowed to do that before he actually took the office on presidency, that he would actually go after him. And he's done that. I mean, what more do these people want?
Well, the fact that he stands for killing babies, though, is very – he's the most radical pro-abortion president we've ever had, and he claims to be a Christian. He's the most radical gay activist president we've ever had, and he claims to be a Christian. I could care less about his skin color, and I could care less about health care, and I could care less about Osama bin Laden – when he supports the killing of our own babies.
What I want to know is this. Is that hearsay, or is that what just Republicans are saying about him?
No, Maurice. These are his own words. This is aggressively. He promised the pro-abortion groups that he would absolutely fight for abortion, and he has done it without fail every opportunity. He called 300 gay activists into the White House in June of 2009. And said, this is your house, and he promised to fight for gay activist rights, and he has absolutely been doing it. So no hearsay. I don't argue that he's done other things that are commendable, but he's absolutely on the wrong side of these issues, sir. But Maurice, let me just say this. If anyone makes these interracial issues, we're completely missing the boat, or even Democrat-Republican issues. And Maurice, I'm out of time, but I wanted to take your call because you're a neighbor of mine here in Charlotte. And please call again so we can talk more. Will you do that? Because we're real short on time, but I'd love to talk to you further. Here, friends, bottom line, we must look at the real issues, and the issues are the issues. I do not register as Republican. I do not identify as Republican versus Democrat. I look at the issues. Skin color is not the issue to me. Ethnicity is not the issue. The issues are the issues. I ran out of time with sorcery in Iran. We'll come back to that. If you're really eager to hear what I had to say, listen to my comments from the first hour at AskDrBrown.org. We have a phenomenal resource offer, friends. Take advantage of it this week. Four of my most important debates, problem of suffering, homosexuality, Jesus, the Messiah, deity of Jesus, 8 hours of debates at a reduced price. Call us right now at 1-800-278-9978. A great debate resource offer. 1-800-278-9978 or AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire for more info. My bottom line, everything around us in coming days could get increasingly unstable. Everything around us in coming days could become increasingly divisive. Let us, as followers of Jesus, be a model of stability and unity and civility in Jesus. Do you think we can do it?